Parshat Lech Lecha. I'd like to finish our discussion on the Parshat today, so we can go to the next Parshat tomorrow, B'Sof Hashem. Okay, what we've been discussing in the past couple days, I was hoping to finish it yesterday, but it's been extended today's shiur, is the strange episode of the bringing into the world of a descendant of Avram that we weren't exactly sure what would be the purpose of it. When we know in advance that Yitzchak is going to be born, and he's going to be the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be making his brief with, which means continuing the line of Avram Avinu that's been selected over 20 generations, where Avram Avinu is that pearl that was lost in the sand, and all of a sudden we seem to regress by having Avram contact or relations with Hagar Mitzrit, an initiative of no one else than his own wife, Sarah. Maybe I will be able to have descendants not directly through me, but at least through her. How do you have descendants through another woman if it's not yours? We do find that phenomena, though, later on in Sefer Bereshit with Zilpah and Bilhah. We'll have to get there and see then, but here it's very strange. What's the point of having Yishmael being born after the pearl has been found already? We went further already yesterday into checking out that it must then be that though the pearl was found and we removed anything that may be covering it from the outside, hence Lech Lecha, but there are definitely possibilities for elements within the pearl itself, hence within Avram Avinu's potential or identity, which has to be removed, and that somehow seems to be coming out in the form of Yishmael. We further went to try to examine what that might be. We started going into the deeper levels of what stands behind Avram Avinu in the context of a bigger group of people as called the Shivat HaRoim or Shivat HaUshpizin, and we started going into the concept of the seven midot, that the world is run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who rules the world or relates to the world in seven traits, seven character traits, hence Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. We spoke about that yesterday. Furthermore, we saw those midot are supposed to fully, in their full-fledged, in their full form, come into the world in the form of these seven Ushpizim. Each one in his life, in his turn, brings out another midah. He is that midah. He's the embodiment of that midah in history. And he, any Jew who ever activates that trait, he's activating the genes, so to speak, of that individual. Hence, any act of chesed is really activating the Avraham Avinu side in us. He, in his life, brought out from beginning to end the full form, the Midah of Chesed, and its complete koma, and its complete shape. And I said even more so, one therefore should see every aspect and every detail in Avraham Avinu's life is really the development in a lifetime of an individual in the form of Avraham Avinu, of the Midah of Chesed, and so on and so forth for all those seven individuals, such as the Midah of Malchut, which wraps up all Midot in the life of David HaMelech. One wants to understand really fully what David HaMelech is about. He is the embodiment of the Midah of Malchut, which would have to be defined as well, but that's totally not our topic right now. We're at the beginning of the process of the unfolding of the Midot, and that is the Midah of Chesed. If that's the case, we said, so then there must be then elements within the Midah of Chesed that have to be removed, illustrated as such. The circle of the Midah of Chesed, and yet elements in it that have to be removed. And we started defining what that might be. In our mind, we're very used to the Midah of Chesed. It's a very positive Midah. We went into the actual definitions of the first two Midot of Chesed versus the Gevura. We saw that really the relationship between these two Midot is really their two opposites, which of course, in their correct usage, they're meant to balance each other, and they're meant to harmonize each other, and one is meant to juggle both these two opposites. And each midah is supposed to be balanced out with the opposite side. The problem always begins with a midah that's not balanced with the other side. And that is an extreme or an unbalanced midah, such as chesed. We define chesed, the most broadest definition, or most abstract definition we were able to come to was, I think Ari mentioned it, the tendency of anything to go beyond its borders or beyond its boundaries, that is what chesed is about. And that's part of it, we said yesterday, it can go positively or negatively. So anytime I go out of my boundaries towards somebody else, that is the act of chesed. To the positive, when I'm helping an old lady across the street, or I go and get stuck at the kotel, I'm extending myself from within my circle, I'm not remaining egocentrically within it, I care to move into the other person's needs and into his circle and provide him with his needs, but I can also go into somebody else's circle in a very destructive way. When I go and steal somebody's possession, I'm leading my circle into somebody else's circle, and that is also, that's a negative channeling of the midah of chesed. And we have to let go of the thought that chesed by itself, in terms of the midah, on this deep level of discussion, means something positive. It doesn't mean something raw. How you channel it is where things become either positive or negative.
The only way.
I think I will stick to blue. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. We'll check it out. Maybe it's during shiur.
Maybe you will be surprised.
They all. The tip seems to be going back. It's the second time, right? Tough. Anyways. And therefore, we spoke about negative chesed or extreme chesed, these X's over here, either in the form of gneva lo tignov. We weren't surprised then to find it, but Yishmael does not want to receive the Torah because it says lo tignov. And other nations are bothered by other things. That means it's issues that they have problems with other inyanim. It's true that this room is Hamish. And it's true that this whole building is Hamish. One problem with the design of the rooms over here is that the doors, and it's true also regarding the big shiur room, is at the front and not in the back. So I wouldn't have as much of a round for people coming late if it was constructed building differently. Being that the building is constructed as such, anytime that a person comes late, it's really destructive to the, to use Daniel's term from yesterday, the energy of the shiur. So let's try to be on time as it is. Stop, by the way, 4 o'clock. Historically, it is relatively late. We used to start afternoon seder years ago, 3 o'clock, 3:30. Wanting to extend afternoon break for guys and then make it easier for them, it's 4 o'clock, but it's really pushing the limits. So 4 o'clock is not a big expectation. It's not just about Fadida, it's myself as well. Let's all try to be, to try, to attempt. That's all we can do in this life of Olam Hazeh. To be more in time. Okay, anyways, so again, Lo Tignov, with the Midah of Yishmael, of Geneva, we saw that the Psukim actually define him before he's even born. Yadoba Kol, the Yad Kol Bo. This is complete, I can't think of a better way for the Psukim to describe exactly what we're talking about. Yadoba Kol, the Yad Kol Bo. A loss of borders, a loss of boundaries, it expresses itself also with relationships which are false, which one should not put himself into. We saw that the 10 cubits of znut of come into the world, 9 taken by Arabs, as the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin talk about. Tov, this is where we came to. I'd like to take everything next stage and to complete this discussion, at least for now. And let's ask the following. If, in fact, Avraham Avinu, the carrier of the Midah of Chesed, has elements in it that we need to remove, and therefore the process has not been complete yet. And by the way, the strongest indication for the fact that it's not yet complete is the following Gemara. I think it's a Masechet Pesachim. I think so. The Gemara says like this: at the end of days, at the end of history, they will be the banquet, they'll have a Seuda, the banquet of history, wrapping up all of the whole 6,000 years of Olam Hazeh. And in that Seuda, they will ask somebody to bench, like in every Seuda. So who do you give the Zimun to? So the crowd there is going to be all offer it, of course, to no one else, to he who started the whole thing, on the topic of discussion, Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu says, as typically Jews would do, no, benching is not for me. And how would Avraham Avinu explain himself? I can't do the Zimun for the banquet of history because Yishmael came out of me, I can't do it. So there, Yitzchak, Olat Mima, Akedat Yitzchak, nobody more perfect for the job of Zimun than you. You do the Zimun, so Yitzchak says, I can't do it because Esav comes out of me, and then they go on to Yaakov, and he says whatever he says, and we'll see that later on in Sefer Bereshit, and until they get to, who would you expect? Or maybe you know from the Gemara? David the Melech, and David the Melech takes the cup. The Gavia, the Kosev, he says, I'll do Zimun. For me, it's actually suitable to do the Zimun. There's something to be understood. Lo kol kach pashut. By the way, don't forget, the first year that we actually gave this year, we saw that the three individuals that really start and wrap up history, and the centerpiece of history, Adam, David, and Mashiach. Remember the Rosh Hashanah, I think it's Zohar that points it out. Adam, David, Mashiach. History begins. We will try. With Avraham Avinu, do you see this?
We see.
Sorry, it is definitely yellow.
And we're up.
David, Mashiach, he who starts off history, he who wraps up history, and he who takes history from beginning to end, receives his actual 70 lives, 70 years of his life from Adam Rishon. We spoke about this already, but in any case, being that he's really the centerpiece that history seems to be revolving around, and as we go throughout the year, we'll discuss David more and try to understand his identity in the media of Malchut that he personifies or embodies. But in any case, Avraham Avinu says he cannot do it because Yishmael comes out of him. In any case, if in fact Avraham Avinu, we are there are elements in him that may not, and we can definitely expect based on the description and the Chumash of Avraham Avinu and how we relate to him, that those negative elements and his potential do not come out in him as an individual. But those potentials are there. The Midah, as a Midah, is there, and it can be by others who would carry those genes. Those potentials can be channeled negatively by descendants, which already Avraham Avinu is not responsible for, which is why he's so worried about, if you remember, about the Zchut of Eretz Knan, whether it will come to his children or not, because I don't know, I can be responsible for myself. I can't be responsible for the behavior and the activity of my children once I'm not here in this world of Olam HaZeh anymore. So this could express itself now we're going into the actual content of things. This Midah potential of mine can be misused. And the only way to make sure that that's not the case is by removing it before I start developing my own the people. The 70 First Nation, based on Yitzhak Avinu, which with him, as we said yesterday, with him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mekim the Brit. So that's why we have to remove it out. Now, we'll continue. And the question is, what's the mechanism? How do we get these X's out, which are the negative or extreme or unhealthy, or somebody mentioned yesterday the term waste. Not to you.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned the term, can we call it the waste of the Midah of Chesed? It sounds pretty harsh. The truth of the matter is, that's really the term that's used in Chazal for a description of all that we're talking about. It's the psalat of the Midah of Chesed. It's the waste of the Midah of Chesed. It's the mischanneling of the Midah. Okay? So this waste of Chesed has to be removed and come out, at least out of Klal Yisrael, will remain in the world in the form of Yishmael. But out of Klal Yisrael has to be removed before we start producing Klal Yisrael. So then, what will be the mechanism of getting it out? How do we remove potential out of somebody?
By the
birth of Yishmael. But what are we going to do in order to get that to happen?
Marry
somebody. Marry whom?
The relationship itself was
I can't hear you.
The relationship that he had with Hagar.
Yeah.
It was like,
it's hard to imagine it being in a relationship
of the
magnitude of love or connection or bond that he had with Sarah.
Connection like kind.
You're talking about in terms of kind. Okay, I didn't think about it in those terms. It's just because it's so hard to relate to. And the truth is, anyways, we're running into trouble. Think of Avraham Avinu having relations with a woman where he's not emotionally connected to it. You cannot imagine. And to imagine that he's fully connecting himself to Shivcha, which is Mitzrayim, is also hard to accept. So that's another aspect, just of the same what we said before, and that is just the whole scenario is just so bizarre. The center, but then maybe more. Yes, sorry.
You have to lure out that exact element.
What is that?
You have to lure out what we kind of pull out with that exact element.
Explain what you're saying.
If you want to take out a certain aspect, you have to then get them appropriate with that same aspect that will draw out that.
Excellent. Let me explain. Let me explain what I think Ari is talking about, which I think is very true. I'm suggesting it as a possibility. I don't know that is the case, but I think what Ari is saying is very accurate. Let's examine it. Eliezer, you want to say something? I think on some level we can all relate to it. Everyone in this room, every human being who is somewhat familiar with himself, knows that he has different aspects in his personality, different sides in him. And the different sides in him will come out socially, in a social context, depending on who that he's actually interacting with, that will bring out that different side. We all have a more funny side. We all have a more serious side. Certain friends of ours will bring out a more serious side of us, and certain friends will bring out a more funny side of us. Usually, that's not always the case. Sometimes it works in the reverse. But usually, as I already said, that is that my midot will come out in direct and not reverse correlation to the he who I'm interacting with. Often a funny person will be able to get out of me my funny side, and the serious person will bring out of me my serious side. Sometimes it does happen in reverse. Usually this is the case. And by the way, this is a big aspect of why choosing one's shidduch and one's person is about to get married is so incredibly important, because depending on the personality of the woman you're going to choose to marry, it will determine a lot which aspects in you will come out. And we have multiple aspects within us, and as we grow, come out of adolescence into adulthood, and it's very much the stage of life that many of the people in this room are at, it's a very, anybody who cares to grow finds new and new sides in him throughout a lifetime, but this is a very significant stage as we're going, entering into young adulthood, of getting to know myself in more aspects and newer aspects. I wasn't familiar with these sides in me when I was younger. And you just get to see more and more sides, and those sides are create some kind of a spectrum or of a puzzle, many different shades, a spectrum of many different shades within it that come out. And I'm not either one of them, I'm a totality of them all. Which side will come out? Depending on the timing, depending on the stage of life, depending on the time of the day even. Different moods come out, different shades of who I am come out. Keeping this in mind, and I'm just basically rephrasing what Ari said, so then, if I'm going to want to bring out midot, which are this negative or extreme or waste of chesed, which as we saw expressions of it, branches of it, in the form of geneva, gzela, okay, or in the form of arayot, remember the term we saw in Parsha Kedoshim yesterday, a person who has relations with his sister, is referred to, that's an act of chesed, which obviously shows that our the definition of chesed in our mind is somewhat problematic, but in any case, if we're going to want to draw this out of Avraham Avinu, we would expect to bring to the relationship somebody who carries those traits themselves. Now, so let's examine it. There was a generation in history, which we've discussed already in Chumash, which very much these two, when you check in Chazal, what the Psukim said explicitly, basically, but the Chazal developed and tell us, that generation was suffered specifically of any loss and any breakdown of any sense of boundaries, both in the sense of Gezel and in the senses of Arayot, and that generation was the generation of the Mabul. Now, we already saw that generation of the Mabul is removed from the world, demolished from the world, and yet there's a streak of it that continues post the Mabul, that the Mabul does not affect in mankind in the form of Cham. Cham had relations on the Teva. Yeah, we spoke about it, this is a quick chazar. Cham had relations on the Teva, that means when everybody else is supposed to be removing itself from procreating and relating, the Mabul does not have the purifying effect on him. And no wonder that the first episode right out of coming out of the Teva is in fact some kind of an involvement with lack of tznius with his father and with Arayot, and therefore he's cursed and he carries the curse of the world throughout the ages, as his father Noach says, nothing less than that. That's a Psukim are explicitly saying so. And Cham becomes one of the three building blocks of mankind in the 70 nations of the world, and Cush is one of them. We saw that the Gemara said that Cham's the color of his skin goes black because of his activity on the Teva, that was his punishment. And in any case, Mitzrayim and Canaan, two nations which are extremely significant in the interactions and the interplay between Klal Yisrael and the 70 nations of the world throughout the ages, Mitzrayim and Canaan, in the closest proximity to Eretz Kodesh, one in it itself and one hovering right next to it, and that is in the form of Mitzrayim, carry exactly these traits. I mentioned it already, and I'll mention it once more, and that is the Parsha of Arayot that we read on Yom Kippur noontime, from Parsha Rachoimot, and that is the list of all the relationships which are forbidden, the opening for it is that which you saw in Egypt and that which you will see in Eretz Canaan, don't do. What is that? And we get the whole list of Arayot. These are nations that embody and are and represent this primitive inability to delay gratification and to accept boundaries, specifically when it comes to relationships. There are many expressions to that later on in Chumash and Parsha, and Sefer Bereishit speaks about Mitzrayim as Erva Ka'aretz, the Erva of the Eretz. This is in the context of Yosef later on. We saw Pesukim in Yechezkel, Perek Yudchet in Yechezkel, speaking about Mitzrayim, Asher Bisar Chamorim Bisaram, Vizirmat Susim Zirmatam, end of quote. that the flesh of the Mitzrayim are like the flesh of behemoth, like donkeys, and the flow that comes out of their bodies is that of horses. And we even learn halachos from that, that there is no lineage of family when it comes to Mitzrayim, and from that we learn for the rest of the nations of the world because of this loss of boundaries, which is again a pre-Mabul behavior which continues in a post-Mabul mankind, and it's a streak of, as I said, of a wild adolescent in an adult world that's still there, and it can erupt, and just if you give it the opportunity, and that opportunity comes out in the nations of Khan, in the form of Mitzrayim and Canaan. And therefore, and I think this is the parish of what Ari was saying, is that it, when we want to get out of Avram Avinu, these midot, we're going to dafka, we're not going to stam look for a shifcha, oh, she happened to coincidentally be Hagar HaMitzrit. She is specifically Hagar HaMitzrit, from Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim elements will bring out of Avram Avinu that potential. This doesn't matter that Avram Avinu did not activate that potential in him as an individual. And with his incredible willpower, he channeled his midah in its complete form, 100%. But that potential is there under the surface of him as a, let's say, as a phenotype. On a genotype level, that potential is there. And the only way to remove it, that's what Ari said, that's what I see it as well as such, is to remove it by dafka bringing she who carries those elements, and that will draw it out. And that comes out in the form of Yishmael. So, source-wise, Chazal specifically talk about the fact that Yishmael represents the waste of Chesed. Okay? That's an explicit Chazal. What we're saying now, that's already a Svara. I'm not saying it based on sources. It's what Ari thought. I think so as well. But I don't think I've seen a source that says so explicitly. Yes, Sadi. Thank you.
Did Avram do this on purpose?
That's a very important question. And I spoke about this, maybe we spoke about it or with others after Shira a couple times. To what extent, I don't know. To what extent, on this level of discussion in Bereshit, there we spoke about, are the individuals who are playing the role of here, are they aware of what's going on or are they not aware? On what level are they aware? For another example, to what Sadia is asking in terms of, remember Avram Avinu going and finding himself in the midst of the war with the four kings? We take it as, yeah, that's a cute episode or a more harsher episode in the middle of Sefer Bereshit. He has to go and say, look, we saw that in the bigger historical picture of the ages, of what Avram Avinu is really doing. He's fighting four kingdoms, which are going to, each one in their turn, turn into one of four world powers, which is really setting the stage and planting the seeds for Klal Yisrael to be able to go through the journey of history and conquer these world powers, at least culturally and spiritually, until the end of days. Is Avraham Avinu aware that he's doing actually something of that magnitude? I don't know. I don't know how to answer it. I think that we don't have the information to do that. On the one end, you would suspect that not. It doesn't seem that the individuals are aware. At least the Pesukim don't seem to imply it. Mitzad Sheini, you know, we're talking about people of such magnitude that I'm a little scared to go into make any statements or to suspect anything in terms of what they are or what they're not aware of. We'll see interesting expressions of it as we get to the later part of Sefer Bereishit with Yosef and his brothers. We'll see it in a strong way there, and definitely it seems, I mean, for sure that the brothers, shot-wise at least, are totally not aware of what's going on, but that we will discuss. Yeah, Nati, I think you want to say something.
So he has to bring himself, if he's aware. Now, even if he's not aware, he has to come to bring himself, you know, to have relations with the God in order to remove this.
But that's true, but that's even without the whole deeper level of discussion over here. It's just shot-wise, the fact that the Sarah wants to be Nivneh through her, however we understand it, even that will be true as well. Yes, it's enough, Odin. This is something that his wife asks. He sees how precious it is, how important her whole life is, that she needs a child, even if it comes through somebody else, as much as we don't have the information or the ability to relate to what that means, but he goes and he does that.
No, it's not going to be a
weak child. We find something else, it's different, it's not the same, but the Esther that goes and has relations with this Rasha and Tipesh in the form of a Achashverosh, for the saving of Klal Yisrael, and most people, you know, it's in the context of Purim, and everything is so happy, and sometimes we're also tipsy, and we're not aware of the fact that it's a very sad end of the life of Esther, that she remains for the rest of her life, as I'll say, with this guy. And that's a tremendous sacrifice.
But it's not even her child.
But through that, she becomes Esther for history.
It's not even her child, though.
What? So that is it. I don't think I can personally, subjectively relate to it more than you can. I also don't understand it, as I implied before, in terms of Bilhan Zilpa, which we'll see later on. It's also strange to see what that means. And Rachel and are his wife. So what does Yaakov have in relations with Zilpah? It's the same type of concept.
Right.
You go to that. Yes.
I don't understand really how it works.
I don't either. But
with the case of Chesed, you say by going with Hagar, it's taking out. I don't get why that's not that I wouldn't come closer to the.
All Ari said, and I'm just trying to explain I think what Ari was talking about, and I see it also as such, that to draw out any time that you are in interaction or in relationship, whether it's on a psychological level, and that we're claiming now that it even enters into the biological level, that when you want to draw out any side in you, I need to bring an element. If I want to draw out your funny side, I will bring a funny person in order to activate it, to bring it out. So we're claiming that it also happens on a genetic level as well.
Is that remove it? Is that trying to remove it? Or just
remove it, bring it out. Bring it out, because that will bring a child out in the form of Yishmael, and that will... Yes. How exactly the mechanisms work, and how does it enter the biological realm? Does it in a genetic sense, biological genetics, or not? Okay. But do we see a pattern over here? And Kuntu Chazal talked about explicitly, yes. Okay. Let's continue then. Mashav, Rabashan? Everyone's taking much more time than I thought. Fine. We'll have to continue tomorrow. Let's continue. I mentioned just a couple minutes ago as an example, I brought the issue of the four kingdoms or the four world powers. And there we saw that there's two levels to the discussion. You can talk about the war of Avraham Avinu with the four kings on the Bereishit level, and that is Avraham Avinu has to go and save Lot. And that's a valid level, and that's the level that most people would discuss. And then there's a whole other floor to it, and that is where Sefer Bereishit turns into the prototype book of history as a whole. And that's, I'm really referring to the big rule that I think I've mentioned already in the previous Zman, that the Ramban, Nachmanides, Ramban has set for us, and that is Sefer Bereishit, in relationship to the rest of history, is Bevchinat, by definition, it's Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. In our modern English, we'll talk about it as being the prototype of history as a whole. So, the truth is, there on this level, anything that happens in Sefer Bereishit has to be examined on two floors, on two levels. On the level of Sefer Bereishit, but then, if you're a person who thinks broad, immediately you want to jump in things. How is this setting the stage for history? How is this planting the genes or the seeds in the book of Genesis? How is it planting the genes or seeds for history as a whole? So now that we're talking about not the four kingdoms, rather about Ishmael, and that's our topic of discussion the past few days, we have spoken about it till now on the Bereishit level, but to what extent do we see it expressing itself? History as a whole, where Bereishit and all that's happening here with Ishmael, the individual, really is going to be planting the seeds for dealing with Ishmael as a power throughout the history on the level of Klal Yisrael. So, where do we find that? In what way do we find an expression of Ishmael on the macro and not just on the micro prototypical level of Sefer Bereishit? So, to do that, I'd like to examine a few things. First of all, let's finish off Parshat Lech Lecha, and that is switches us from. Please open up inside your Chumash. Parshat Lech Lecha takes us from the topic of the birth of Yishmael into the closing topic of Parshat Lech Lecha, and that is what? Brit Mila. Brit Mila. Open up inside your Chumash, please. Matin Lecha Chumash. מי שאין לו, שמחר יבוא. בבקשה, בדברים נש. Okay, that's Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, on the side, please. Chapter 17, Pasuk Aleph, taking us all the way to the end of the Parsha, the topic of Brit Milah, and that's a Brit, further Brit, we had already Brit Ben at the Tarim, earlier on in the Parsha, and Parsha Lech Lecha has two britot, always not to forget, two britot in this very extremely important Parsha, Parsha Lech Lecha, the Brit Bein HaBetarim, setting the stage for history for Klal Yisrael, where Avraham Avinu was not sure if he's going to be receiving Eretz Yisrael, and Avraham Avinu is told, you will, and the covenant is through history, and having to go through the four exiles, at the end of days, Eretz Yisrael will be eternally of your children. And that's setting the stage for the four world powers, we spoke about that. Comes Brit Milah, and is a Brit with Avraham Avinu, which is really giving us the prerequisites and the conditions for the receiving of
joy.
Huh? Well, let's see. So let's see inside. I'm reading inside. Pirei Kitzan Pasuk Aleph. Please follow inside with me. Vayhi Avraham ben 90 shana v'tesha shanim vayira Hashem al Avraham v'yomer lav ani kel Shakai. Remember this name, please. Ani kel Shakai. Remember it for Sefer Shmot. We'll get there in a month or two. Hitalech lefanai v'heyet tamim. ואתנה בריתי ביני ובינך, והרבה אותך במאוד מאוד, you will multiply. ויפול אברהם על פניו, וידבר איתו אלוקים לאמור, אני הנה בריתי איתך, והיית לאב המון גויים, ולא יקרא עוד את שמך אברהם, והיה שמך אברהם, כי אב המון גויים נתתיך. In the context of Brit Mila, Avram Avinu's name changes from Avram to Abraham. והפרתי אותך במאוד מאוד, through Brit Mila, you will multiply, ונתתיך לגויים ומלכים ממך יצאו. והקימותי את בריתי ביני ובינך ובין זרעך אחריך לדורותם לברית עולם, להיות לך לאלוהים ולזרעך אחריך. And furthermore, not that you will multiply through your commitment to Brit Milah, but pasuk chet, look inside, please. Venatati lecha lezarcha acharecha et eretz megurecha, the land where you are living now, eretz megurecha et kol eretz knan la'achuzat olam, vayiti lahem le'elohim, eretz Yisrael will be eternally yours. Through that, I will be eternally your God, and you will multiply and be as a people. So all that goes into the coming into the existence of Klal Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael being its place in the world and its location where it's going to be coming into existence is predicated on this brit. What do I expect from you? I'm going on. Please look inside. Pasuk Yud. Zot briti. I'm sorry. Vayomer Elokim pasuk Tet. Vayomer Elokim al Avraham v'ata et briti tishmor. Ata v'zarcha acharecha ledorotam. The covenant which will bring about all that I had just promised you. You will multiply. You will become Av Hamon Goyim. The land of Eretz Yisrael will be yours is by the on the condition and with the prerequisite that you stick to this covenant, you and your descendants after you. What is that? Pasuk Yud, Zot briti asher tishmor, b'ini v'nechem v'ben zarecha achareicha, himol lachem kol zachar, u'nemalten et b'sar avotechem v'ale'ot briti b'ini v'nechem, etc., etc., etc. And what we're basically saying, explicitly, v'meforash, the pasukim, Eretz Yisrael, and Am Yisrael coming to existence in Eretz Yisrael, is predicated on, and the condition for that is the commitment to brit milah. Okay? So now, let's take it one step further. If Brit Milah is a condition for the receiving of Eretz Yisrael, who is actually performing Brit Milah here in the Parsha? After the Tzivui, after the commandment comes in, who actually performs the Brit?
The Shmachu.
There?
Who actually, like which people?
Yes.
Avram
and Yishmael. So let's go back to our formula. We're saying that Eretz Yisrael belongs and will be given to he who performs the Brit Milah. So Avram Avinu is one, but Yishmael is another. Now Esav, for example, later on, we do not find that he does Brit Milah. He doesn't say anything in the Pesukim about it. That's how I'll speak about it. He removed himself from it. Yishmael has a Brit Milah. He performs it all the way till today. In fact, people who learn Milah here in the Eretz today, they practice on Arabs. They often do. Anyways, Yishmael does a Brit Milah. But we just said the formula is that Eretz Yisrael is given to he who does Milah. So the Zohar says explicitly, please listen carefully to this, that indeed, being that Yishmael, and not just Yisrael or Avraham Avinu's descendants, performs Brit Milah, he will have control over the land of Eretz Yisrael. So says the Zohar. Goes on the Zohar and says, however, being that his Brit Milah is, the Lashon is that it's empty, that it's wreck, so too also his control of Eretz Yisrael will be empty, will be wreck.
Wow.
Either it says it in the Zohar or I might understand it as such, being that the Brit Milah of Yishmael is limited, so therefore his control of Eretz Yisrael is limited, and limited also in terms of time. No. This Zohar is one of a few sources, not many, that actually talks about, listen carefully to the following. Somebody, I think may have been Natia, I'm not sure, a couple days ago when we talked about the four world powers, somebody mentioned, not sure who it was, maybe Daniel, it was you, that what we found, if you remember, we had Babel, all stomachs starting from Mitzrayim. We had the four world powers of Babel, Paras and Madai was one, Yavan, and then Edom, right? This was the history from beginning to end of Klal Yisrael. the root exile, and then from that, from after Churban Bayit Rishon, the loss of the world power of Shlomo HaMelech to Babel, and then to the Persians, and then to the Greeks, and then to the Romans, the Western Christian world all the way till the end of days, until we get the Malchut back in the form of Mashiach ben David, the Malchut of Melech HaMashiach. That goes back to that Pasuk in Bereshit of the Ruach Elokim Rechatet al Pnei HaMayim. We spoke about that, okay? So then, we said like this. We have here descendants of Cham, Mitzrayim and Babel, descendants of Yefet, and we have our descendants, both Yefet and Yefet. Mitzrayim is Cham as well, and Edom is already in the context of Shem. Somebody mentioned that there is something asymmetrical by the fact that, there's another Shem missing. I said, I don't know. We don't necessarily have to expect such symmetry, but I did say that we will discuss it, and that is, from what, when we do examine history, the history of the present, in fact, in the past 50 years, 100 years, there is another element at the end of the exile of Edom that appears on the stage of history and becomes a whole new exile for the Jewish people in the form of the descendants of Yishmael. And in fact, as the Jews are going to be coming back to Eretz Yisrael, they will have ongoing difficulty with control of Eretz Yisrael because of their conflict over the land with the descendants of Ishmael.
Edom is Ishmael?
No. Edom is Esav and his descendants, the Western Roman, later on Christian, Western world, all the way to the end of days. If you want to put into it the control of the world by the American European world of today, that will all be under the umbrella of Edom. So we've spoken about, we haven't gotten to Esav yet, I'm not talking much about it yet. In a few weeks we get to Edom, Ishmael is, we view him as such, and they themselves view them themselves. The Muslims, Ishmaelim, they view themselves as the descendants of Ishmael, and that's their claim for existence in the world, is the fact that Ishmael was really the chosen of the descendants of Abraham Avinu, and hence their whole claim for the control over Eretz Yisrael, and for the control over this mountain right 100 meters from here. Which is probably the most charged, energized location, not probably, for sure, the most charged and most energized location in the world. Just a few years ago, when Arik Sharon, who's hovering between heaven and earth now for the past good few months, put a foot onto the mountain, it erupted the whole latest intifada. But in any case, the Zohar said explicitly, there will be a stage where the land of Israel will be in control of Ishmael, at least a limited one, because of his merit of the Brit Milah. Now, we don't have much time left, but I do want to see with you one more source, a very explicit source, in Pirkei de Rav Lezer, I photocopied for you yesterday. Time, please, Masha. Okay, we'll just do this source, and we'll have to continue this discussion tomorrow. There's two sheets over here. Please give me that. What I want you to do is two things. Make sure you have two different sheets in your hand. One has a Reish Nun Hei at the top, Amud Reish Nun Hei, and one is Reish Nun Vav. As you're doing it, also, like Malachim, I want you to do two things at the same time. Also open up in Parshat Balak and Sefer Bamidbar. Josh, you doing okay? Okay.
What happened with Sharon?
The latest intifada just erupted on the Arab Rosh Hashanah. How long ago was this? 2000.
What are you trying to imply?
Well, obviously it was just a straw, but still, Arik Sharon went on to Har Abayit to try to show our control over the mountain, and boom, over that Rosh Hashanah, the latest intifada erupted, and it really continues all the way till today. I just give it as an example of how charged the place is.
Was it a direct effect in the shot also?
Yeah. No, totally. No,
that was the reason.
What?
That's like what they think.
That was one of just an excuse. But there's a reason why after that was the merit.
Yeah?
Okay, we're talking about Parshat Balak, Perek Kaf Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, chapter 24 in Sefer Bamidbar, the book of Numbers. Chapter 24, Pasuk 14. Let's do this very quickly. Chapter 24, Pasuk 14 in Bamidbar. We're talking about Balak. We're all probably familiar with the story. He was asked by the asked by the king of Moab, Balak, to come and to curse the Jews. It doesn't work. Every time he attempts to open up his mouth, and that is three times the number, Hashem turns the kolot into brachot. And then comes the last time, the fourth time, where Bilam opens up his mouth. The difference is that this last time, Balak did not request him to speak. He already gave up on him. But Bilam now initiated and said, well, let me tell you my vision of the end of days. What will happen between this people that you asked me to curse, hence the Jews, and your people, and the rest of the world, by the end of days. And these psukim are the psukim of Perek Afdalad, from Pasuk Yud Dalad to Pasuk Kaf Dalad. And these 10 psukim contain in them, according to Chazal, basically the secrets for the process leading up to Achrit HaYamim. The milchamot that lead up to Achrit HaYamim are contained in this pretty mysterious psukim. Let's read them inside. Vayisa mishalo, I'm sorry, Vata, hineni olech leami, pasuk yudalet. I'm going back, but let me tell you, lecha yatzcha asher yaseh ha'am hazeh le'amcha b'achrit hayamim. Let me tell you what this people will do to you at the end of days. Vayisa mishalo vayomar, and then he gives this vision. And in the context of this vision, we don't have time to go through the whole vision, but he makes different statements about different central nations in the world, and what will be their fate at the end of days. An example for that, one of them is a famous one, and that is Pasuk 20. Vayaret Amalek, in his vision, he sees Amalek, a very significant nation in the world. Vayisama shalom v'yama reishit goyim Amalek, very famous Pasuk. Reishit goyim Amalek v'acharito adei oved, the fate of Amalek, that will be completely demolished from the face of the earth. And then comes, skip please, to Pasuk 22, Pasuk Kaf Bet. Ki imi hiye levaer kain ad ma'ashur tishbeka. Pasuk 23, I'm sorry. Vayisa meshalo vayomar. Oy mi yichye mi sumo el. Vayisa meshalo vayomar. Oy mi yichye mi sumo kel. This pasuk. This pasuk is referred to here in Medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar that you have in front of you. Please pick up on your hand the sheet, the one that starts in Amud Reish Nun Hei. And then we'll go on to Reish Nun Vav. Okay? I'm talking about Amud Reish Nun Hei, just the Medrash in the middle, not the Perush on the side. This is a Medrash I recommend for anybody who's interested to become more familiar with the thought of Chazal. Easy to read, it's flowing reading. It's a new edition, by the way, you can find it here in the library, Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. It's very, very interesting sources. But in any case, on this Pasuk, the Medrash says like this. Amar Bil'am, count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. Amar Bil'am, in the middle of the line. Yesh?
Yeah.
Amar Bil'am, Yishivim leshanot shebarak Kadosh Baruch Hu b'olamo, the 70 nations of the world. Lo sam shmo le'achad ne'em ela l'Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu put his name, only in Klal Yisrael. What name? Shem Kel, Yisrael, Kel, Yisrael. Lo sam shmo le'achad ne'em ela l'Yisrael. However, ho'il v'yishba Kadosh Baruch Hu shmo shel Yishmael, l'shmo shel Yisrael. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu equated at some level, at least in the name Kel, he equated Israel with Ishmael and became the only other nation that also has that name. Oy, therefore, says Bilam, I don't know when he has to translate this word, Oy, mi yichye b'yamav, Oy, who will be able to live in his days? Meaning the days that he takes control in the world, who will be able to live in his days? Sheneimar, Oy, mi yichye, mi sumo, Kel, Oy, who will be able to live as a result of that which he whose name is Kel will, has Kel in his name, will do. Goes on the Medrash and says, listen carefully, I always find this pretty amusing, no one else of the Tanayim but Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Rabbi Ishmael says, there are 15 things, switch to the next page, 15 dvarim atidim b'nei Ishmael asot ba'aretz ba'acharit hayamim. There are 15 things that the descendants of Ishmael are future to do. Ba'aretz, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, at the end of days. We're talking about the end of days. The sources, other places in Chazal, talk about that as being the stage where Klal Yisrael is slowly getting ready, going to be in the process of gathering back into Eretz Yisrael after 2,000 years of Galut. And in that stage, they're going to be, we're given here this list of 15 things that the nation will do in the land at the end of days. But I'm just going to read most of it. I may skip parts of it because of lack of time. But in any case, the land will be measured with ropes. This is a lot of food for thought. I'm not claiming to understand each of the statements over here. There's a lot of room for interpretation. Some of the mefarshim go into it. Interesting what it means that the land will be measured in those days. However, this is a very interesting one. They will turn Jewish graveyards into garbage dumps. Anybody knows since basically 1967 when Eastern Jerusalem was captured and Har HaZeitim was, Jews could go back there, they found that Har HaZeitim and other graveyards of Jews were really, but the kvarot were really turned into the garbage dumps. Anyways, in those days, Yirbeh HaSheker, Sheker will prevail in general, the Tigosh HaEmet, the truth will be missing, the Yirchak Chok Mi'Yisrael, Chok HaTorah will be be removed from God, so many Jews are going to go off the Derech HaTorah, the Yirbu HaBanot Mi'Yisrael, and then we have different financial, economical statements, Shani Torah Katzenor, the Yikamel HaNiyar VaKulmus. I'm reading too quickly. But in those days, the desolate lands in Eretz Yisrael will be slowly rebuilt. And the roads will be paved. The land will be giving its fruit again. By the way, that's the famous Mar Masechet Sanhedrin. We have no clear indication for the soon coming of Mashiach when the land of Eretz Yisrael will re-give its fruit after not having done so for thousands of years and remaining desolate as long as non-Jews were living there. I'm going on. The building will be built in the Heichal. What this means, according to this is some of the Farshim, that Bnei Yishmael will be building their own temple on the Temple Mount. This is written back before Muhammad was even born. We're talking way before Yishmael was even became a religion in the world. It's not a world power. It became a nation or religion in the world. And there will be two brothers who will be nisi'im on them at the end of days, whatever that may mean. Ubeyinehem, in those days of our confrontation with Ishmael, Ya'amod Tzemach ben David, Mashiach ben David will come forth in those days. Shineimar, quote here, Pesukim from Daniel, I'm skipping along. V'odaya Rabbi Ishmael omer about it. Another statement of Rabbi Ishmael, Shalosh milchamot shel mehuma, three wars of chaos. Our future, Atidin Bnei Yishmael, Asot Ba'aretz Ba'achrei Tayami, are the descendants of Yishmael going to do at the end of days in Eretz Yisrael, Shenemar, Mipnei Charavot Nadadu, Ven Charavot Ele Milchamot. What are these wars? Echad Yar, Be'yar, Ba'arav, one in the forest in Arabia, Ve'echad Be'yar, I'm skipping the Pesukim, Ve'echad Be'yar, one in the sea, Ve'echad Be'kach Gadol Shebaromi, and one in the big city of in Rome. Again, Rome does not necessarily have to mean Rome in an Italy sense, but Rome in terms of Edom as a world, Western world power. Shu kaved mishneim, that will be the heaviest of the wars. Shneimar mipnei kovid milchama. Umisham ben David yitzmach, and from within the context of that war between Yishmael here in Rome and Eretz Yisrael, umisham ben David yitzmach, v'yireh bo'ovdan shel elu ve'elu, you'll see the downfall both of Yishmael and of Edom. Umisham yavo le'eretz Yisrael shneimar mizeh ba me'edom, etc. This is this very interesting medrash of Pirkei de Rav Lezer. Not many, but there are a few sources in the Zohar and the source from Pirkei de Rav Lezer that talk about the fact that at the end of days, at the end of Galut Edom, there will be one more Galut, not of a Malchut. We don't refer to it as a world power. We never think of Arabs today or the Arab countries as a world power or as a kingdom. We don't exactly think of Arabs or as Yasser Arafat, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, in any royal sense. But are they a power in the world? They're a very significant power in the world. And if anybody was not aware of it, came this September 11th and proved to the world that we're very much mankind, and that the centerpiece of it, of course, us Jews here in Eretz Israel, under the very, very strong control of Ishmael in the world. And that is the coming forth, apparently, of the power of Ishmael on the macro level, which Sefer Bereshit is the actual prototype for. Bezat Hashem, we'll continue discussing this tomorrow, and we will go into the next parasha. Please read the first half into Revi'i of Parsha Be'er. Nope.